Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast brought to you by Inspire Citizens. I'm your host, Scott Jameson. On this podcast, we are going to be diving into the voices and stories of students who own their learning and impact their communities.
Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast. Today, I am joined by four high school students from the International School of Helsinki, and we're going to be talking about a program at their school called STAND, and they're going to let us know about how that came about and what they've been up to in terms of social justice and equity, inclusion, and discrimination at their school. So you guys want to introduce yourselves to our listeners?
My name is Diana, and I'm a 12th grader at the International School of Helsinki.
Hi, I'm Philip. I'm also in 12th grade at the International School of Helsinki.
Hi, I'm Ankita. I'm in 11th grade in the International School of Helsinki.
Hey, I'm Arian, and I'm also in a 12th grade at an International School of Helsinki.
Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about STAND?
So STAND is a student equity group we started working on forming and implementing here at school last year. And what the acronym in our name stands for is Students Together Against Discrimination. The N is in the against. The point of this group is to raise awareness and discuss issues of inequity, both in the school community and around the world, because these issues have been very clearly brought up, especially in social media in the past year. And it was just something we wanted to address within the school community as well.
Yeah, it was just a social justice group because we thought that in our school, we needed that with the culture we had, and especially with what was going on at the time with the Black Lives Matter movement. We thought that it was appropriate to take action in our school accordingly to what was going on in the world.
You talked about social media. How has that influenced the work you've been doing with STAND?
The branding department of STAND, they are responsible for advertising STAND and making posts about different issues that are mentioned on the equity calendar. So, for example, we have an Instagram and we made an account and we got a lot of followers from our school, like many students started following us. And then that also helped in promoting our group in the school because many students came up to us asking, oh, it's STAND. Tell me about it. What is it? We saw your Instagram and things like that. So in a way, it helped us promote the group and make it like so people would know, students would know in our school that it existed and that they could provide some ideas to help us grow.
Yeah, I think as I mentioned earlier, social media seems to be a very common mode of communication for equity issues around the world nowadays. And there seems to also be a lot of misinformation and just these posts with these infographics and statistics and no one knows what's true and what's not true. So I think especially by having, like Ankita said, our own kind of group Instagram, we wanted to ensure that the school community was also receiving information that we had verified through multiple sources about certain issues.
What drew you personally to get involved in a social justice group at your school?
For me, in my previous schools, it's always been kind of a topic in my own life, but it could kind of ignore it at the other schools. And when I heard like a presentation from Diana actually about that they're raising a group called STAND here, I immediately like felt drawn to join myself and to help them out.
Personally, for me, it was when the BLM movement was a very prominent movement at the time. It was the equity committee was not really a thing in our school until the BLM movement was brought up. And we started talking about having an equity committee. And we had a few meetings initially, and we were talking about what the purpose of this group would be if there was an equity committee in our school. And then we established what we would be doing in the group and things like that. So that really inspired me to join the group because talking about things that should be actually addressed in schools and not just like, oh yeah, I know this is something that's going on, but actually going more in depth about it is very important in schools. Yeah, that's why.
And I personally joined the group because I thought the conversation was not really going on enough or at all really in my circles of people that I was in class with. And even like, you know, anyone, even like the people who were maybe more like talking about it, it still didn't feel like it was enough, especially with what was going on in the world. It did start off as mainly like a BLM group, but then when we really talked about it, we realized that, oh my god, like we really haven't been talking about all these other issues either. And I mean, I joined from the back, me and a couple other students and Mrs. Thrash, we came up with the idea and basically like the BLM committee. And then when more issues we started to talk about them, that's when the STAND got created, and that's why I stayed.
Yeah, I mean, I had very similar reasons to what's already been said. I think what especially stood out about this group is that I've been at ISH for quite a while, and there have been groups about global engagement and things like that that have been tried to start up at school. But this one was the one, like, it seemed like there was actual promise. And it took on, like Ankita said, people started coming up to us and asking about STAN. And it's just like, there's a huge amount of student interest that in my years at the school, I'd never seen before. So I think what especially stood out and like continues to make me passionate about being in STAN is, apart from addressing very important issues, like it actually has potential to take direct action. And it's sparked this interest in other students as well, which is hard to do with a high school crowd.
For sure. I know it's definitely a challenge, but it's really exciting as well to see that you guys are getting this kind of interest through social media and just through word getting around, and people are getting interested in such an important topic. For others who are listening, I'm sure this topic resonates. This is something that is really important right now, and there's a lot of conversations going on around diversity and discrimination. How might someone get a program like this started at their school if maybe there's no space at their school, these conversations aren't happening? Very similar to what you were talking about, what advice might you give to get something like STAN up and running at their school?
Well, I would say just to find it in yourself to get the want, because it really can just start from one of them. No matter how cliche it sounds, it really can just start from one person. So like, if a couple of people just really want it, then with enough determination, they can spread that, and it can become this like bigger thing that could really help out a community. But it really just comes from the want.
Yeah, and I think if the student has an opportunity to have like a faculty member who they trust, because the idea is that a group like this should be student-led, but it also really helps to have someone who's has access to resources, or someone you can just, like an adult you can trust in implementing this into the school overall structure. And taking, like just taking advantage of the resources you have, because like I mentioned earlier, sparking interest in a high school crowd is very challenging. But if you like talk to your friends and you just set up very, like you have to have a consistent image for your group in your school community to the point where people know, like you say the name and people know what that group is. And establishing that image is hard, but I think it's very, very important.
And personally for STAN, initially we had obstacles, as in we weren't able to effectively communicate. Like Diana said about a like high school crowd, it's kind of difficult to communicate effectively with them about issues like these. So we were trying to reach out to them, and then we did the launch, and the launch was a really big thing, and it actually helped a lot in getting the name out that yes, there is something called STAN in our school. And you can help maybe join it or maybe give us ideas on how to develop from there. Yeah, I think launch and like having discussions with visitors or speakers from outside the school who are passionate about these topics. So I think that also really helped starting the group.
You talked about having a trusted faculty member involved in this to kind of support your group. But STAN has really evolved into a truly student-led organization. Can you speak to that a little bit about how that evolved over time?
When it started off, it was quite challenging because we got caught with being sent home and we had to do online learning and having the meetings and online. And I think it was like a question of just kind of taking initiative. People in STAN noticed that we had been having some very productive discussions, but getting to the actual action part and being more efficient with our time usage was a bit of a challenge. So I think what we did was we came up with this structure proposal to restructure STAN, having like these subgroups with these leaders and just being a more like set structured group rather than just a group of people who would meet up and talk. And we proposed this idea to one of the faculty members, Ms. Thrash, and she was very, very supportive in having our voice and our ideas be heard and implemented in STAN. So that's kind of how we got to like having that student-led structure. It was that we brought up the fact that we needed a structure and she was there to listen and help us out with implementing that.
A good part of it is also because we're doing it for students as well, it's good to have it be student-led, as we kind of are familiar with our peers and what is required, what their needs are, what their wants are, and that immediately gives us a sort of perspective from what is required of us.
What impact has STAN had in your school community?
Well, at least, even if it's just talking about the group still stands for the social issues that weren't being talked about before. So, I mean, obviously, first and foremost, these issues are being talked about more, which is great. The fact that it has grown and more people want to join, it's kind of changed also the culture of the school, kind of the time window of like our 4th grade kind of high school group. It's made the culture more like, well, open-minded, as you would expect, accepting and more knowledgeable and just thoughtful about like these things exist. Because before it was kind of like this time bubble of like none of these issues are really prevalent or existing, but now they do. So it's great.
I feel like in high school, a lot of what happens is playing around with this idea of bandwagoning. The second that the group came up and became more, I guess, part of mainstream or school culture, I think that, at least, as I mentioned, I definitely noticed an increase in just overall taking initiative as a student for your own learning and your own, like, your voice being heard. It's just, like, the number of people who came up was astounding. The number of people who are now interested in student leadership is also astounding, because I think what Stan did is it made it seem like a less scary thing to approach rather than a commitment that was, like, this boring another school responsibility. It was more of, like, a safe space for everybody to join in.
That's a great segue, actually, into my next question. I was just thinking about how DEIJ issues exist globally, and these are conversations that companies and schools and organizations all across the world are engaged in, or at least should be engaged in. And there's a lot of great work happening right now. But these are difficult conversations for a lot of people. How have you been able to create a safe space to have these conversations and grow as a community?
That's a great question.
I think if I can say that, I think it just came naturally. When you get people who want the same thing in a room together, well, it's almost automatically a safe space because you know what you're there for. Everyone kind of wants the same thing. So I think that made everyone also feel more comfortable in terms of giving their input to how the group grow. But yeah, just getting people who want the same thing in the same room together was enough for us.
Yeah, making it very open. So anyone could join Stand at any given moment. At the beginning, we gave out like a form in case people were interested in joining, but it was made very clear that if you want to join Stan, I want to join Stan. You show up to the meeting, you're there. I think the group also, our group members are pretty respectful. No ideas get shut down, and we always try to make sure that everyone listens to each other. And I think also what I found in the past year is that reaching out to the younger students in high school, like the ninth graders, who would usually be intimidated in joining a space that's mostly formed by older students. It was really helpful to just reach out to the ninth graders, be like, hey, don't be scared. Don't be scared to join Stan. Yes, it was in the beginning comprised of older students, but join, it was a very chill atmosphere. And especially because I have quite a few siblings in the lower grades, and I know a few people in Stan do as well. So going through that, like telling your sibling, hey, tell your friends about Stan, or this is what Stan is really like, kind of created this idea of, it seems like a really nice group of people I can just go hang out with and make productive projects come and like be real.
Also, like in our new like leadership structure that we have just started to implement, we're planning to create support groups where there's a faculty member present, and whoever wants to come, it's totally up to the students. If they want to join those kind of groups, they can come in and they can talk about issues that are bothering them. And another idea that we had was we could implement this. So we're trying to make a website currently, and we would include a anonymous commenting area where students can anonymously comment about something that might be bothering them in school or outside of school, and those issues could be addressed by Stan. So I think those would also hopefully help Stan become a more safer environment and the school to become a more safer environment to talk about these issues.
And I definitely agree that these issues are very hard to talk about, because I think we have to admit that we have like a pretty good position in terms of that. If this is an issue we want to bring up, if we do it in the right way, we're hopefully, like, we don't face very much backlash from the student body or other parts of the school community. But I think the key is just trying to be respectful, but make sure that people aren't violating basic human respect for each other. So bringing up, for example, if you see something that's going on in the school community, at the same time, you want to make sure that you're not doing it like a, you suck and you're terrible for not wanting to be super inclusive all the time way.
Respect and understanding from like a big basis of all of these.
Yeah, but not letting anything slide either.
When we work with students, we talk a lot about nonviolent communication strategies, which I think is something that is exactly ties into what you're talking about here. We want to address these issues, but we want to address it in a positive way that generates a conversation, not kind of an accusatory way. So I think that's fantastic. You talked about how the core members or the founding members of STAND are mostly older students. And of the group of you here, 3 out of 4 are seniors. What structures are in place or are being put in place to make sure that STAND continues to thrive when your more active members move on from high school?
So with the new structures we're trying to implement, we're giving younger students the chance to become part of the leadership, and then have the seniors or the 12th graders take a step back from that and take on a more guiding role to support them into taking over this group so that they can run it in the future and then do the same.
We definitely want to create a smooth transition for everybody, because what often happens is that, the seniors were the ones in leadership positions, and what happens is the second that they're not there, they get too busy with schoolwork, you have to have this leadership change. But what happens is that if you haven't prepared the people for the leadership change, it just becomes way too overwhelming. So by having that 12th grader sort of guide the younger student, and these are what your responsibilities are, we've already started actually making that leadership shift happen now, because we're going to have to be very, very busy in November. And so by working alongside them for a while as leaders for, let's say, a month or 2 months, and then separating them and saying, hey, now you can go on by yourself, you ensure that they're aware of the responsibilities, they can handle the responsibilities, and they don't feel overwhelmed or lost at any point in the process.
I think that's so cool, because I actually just read a book this summer called An Everyone Culture, and it's written by Keegan and Leahy from a little known institution on the East Coast of the United States called Harvard. And they talk about three different companies who use a leadership structure like that. And the leader of the group, before it slides out into more of a coaching mentor position to sort of groom the next leader, and it kind of is very cyclical, and they don't leave people, and this is in the corporate world, and they don't leave people in a position very long. They kind of cycle through to challenge people within this company. But it's this idea of coaching the next leader along, which is really kind of cool. This sounds like a pretty big commitment, being involved in something like this. How do the four of you find balance being high school students with so many demands on your time, both academically and extracurricularly and socially? How do you find a balance to give your time and energy to a program like STAND while still doing all the other things that the world demands of you?
I think it's just mainly about prioritizing and effective time management, because for example, there's a, STAND has a, it is like, it depends on what kind of role you play in STAND. If you are one of the really active members in STAND, it is a demanding role and you will have some work to do, but then you also have your school assignments. So it's just about prioritizing, which, for example, if you have an assignment due maybe tomorrow, you get that done first and then you work on STAND, which might be due in 2 days or something, for example. So it's really, and if you're passionate about something, it's sort of easy to kind of effectively manage your time.
And you're always welcome to ask for help from other members, of course, if you have a big deadline or a bunch of tests coming up. We encourage students to not be afraid to ask for help from other members.
Yeah, and additionally onto that, what we wanted to make very clear from the start is that, yes, you can join STAND and take on a high commitment position, but you are also capable of joining STAND with a low commitment position, because this is a challenge that lots of high school students face. I think that's one of the main obstacles that comes to joining a natural student equity group. It's like, hey, no, I don't have time for that. But having that trust amongst group members and being very clear from the start, we ask all group members, how committed are you on a scale of 1 to 10? And based on that, you can kind of, okay, well, I know that this person's pretty committed, so maybe you can give them a slightly larger task. And if that person can't handle it, you can split into smaller tasks for the people who are less committed. I think it's all about effective communication and trust amongst your group members.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, this group really can cater to any workload. Like, someone in their last year who might need a little more time for academics, they can have a smaller role. There are so many different quantities of workloads in the group that it can really cater to anyone in any academic position, which is great because, you know, you can obviously have a leadership role, which is a lot more work and demanding. I mean, if you really want it, then it is important to balance like your academics with the group.
Yeah, and actually, I think this is one of the highlights from my experience being a student equity group, and like why I think it's so important to encourage other schools to do this as well, is because like you said about that book you were reading about similar leadership structures being implemented in a corporate setting, is I found that I've learned so many real life skills. This is very IB student of me to say, but I've learned so many real life skills in terms of how do I manage my time in the group outside of school, and how do I make sure that I know how to communicate with other people without having a teacher intervene, or like leadership changes, for example. So I think that's what one of the biggest takeaways from this whole experience has been for me. So I know to an extent that if I go out into the real world and I'm in a group and working with peers, I kind of understand how that group organization works.
Would anyone else like to share a little bit about the leadership responsibilities and how your leadership skills have evolved through being involved in this group?
So for me, it was a bit vague because I wasn't in the beginning actual part of the leadership, but I was very supportive of the leadership structure. And for example, if anything came up, I was always there to, if they needed me to like pick up on some of the slack, if they had something else to do. So it's not always just up to the leadership to take everything. If you're like a very committed student in the group, you can also take initiative and lead the conversation of ideas.
For me, I have been in STAND from the very beginning, but I have seen significant amount of growth in myself. And when I see the change from maybe like 2 years ago to now, it's really, really amazing. And I'm really proud of that because I am the type of person who doesn't like, for example, public speaking or just like taking initiative, because even if I'm passionate about something, I might not just go and be like, okay, I'm going to do that. But being involved in STAND from the very beginning, because STAND came about because it was kind of already involved in the curriculum, because our task was to like rebrand an equity committee in our, or brand an equity committee in our school. So from that, it just kind of, I went with the flow and saw like, okay, let's try out new things. Let's step out of my comfort zone. And stepping out of the comfort zone really helped because I learned so many new things. And now I see myself talking to people from outside the school, taking many initiatives. So I think that's really helpful.
Is there anything else that we haven't discussed that you would like to share with our listeners?
STAND doesn't just discuss issues, it also like organizes events, and it has more like various, where the old structure had like events and communication and branding. So it did a lot more than just like, it wasn't just like a circle where the discussions were discussed, but we actually tried to get out into the real world and do things not just on social media, but in our school community.
Also in other school communities. For example, me and Diana talked at Seaside White Pride, and lots of students actually like looked up to STAND and asked us for information on, and help and resources on how to set this up or discuss these topics in their own schools.
I think for any educators or students out there, I think setting up the group is the hardest part. But if you're motivated to do that, and for example, teachers, don't be afraid to take the first step either, because you can be that catalyst. I wouldn't have gone out of my way to set up a meeting.
If someone is feeling inspired from listening to our podcast, maybe a teacher or maybe a student at a different school, how can they get in contact with STAND to connect with your group?
We have an email address. It's stand@ishelsinki.fi. And then we also have our Instagram page, which is s.t.a.n.d.ifh. So like just DM or email and we'll reply as fast as we can. We are always looking for opportunities to collaborate with other schools or organizations.
I will link those in the description of the podcast too, so people have those. Because I think that would be really cool if you were able to kind of share your work with some other students at other schools, and the whole idea of 1+1=3. We're just better together. And the more we can collaborate and share the amazing work that you're doing and have these important conversations with students and at schools, and to see our community feel like a safer space. And the fact that you've achieved that at your school, I think is something to be really proud of.
Thank you.
When you're dealing with a complex issue like social justice, what kind of challenges have you run into along the way with STAND?
Some parts of the student body weren't that interested, actually. It kind of muddled over them, like they kind of ignored it when we were trying to get attention to a specific subject. But that over time, that slowly got better as more people like got interested and joined and talked about it actively.
I definitely think that the student community as a whole keeps changing every year. The culture is always a little different. And this year's culture has been really great in terms of the numbers, spreading the message. It does depend on the culture, and it's had its ups and downs and quiet moments, but we think we're getting there.
And I think something that we've definitely noticed, or an obstacle we faced, I suppose, is that not everyone's going to agree with the way you want to do certain things. Other students might be inspired and want to start up other groups and take a different approach. I think what's very important is ensuring that the whole student body can communicate so that it doesn't become an unproductive, one group's popping up and then another group, and now it's like, how do these all work? And now we're just confusing the student body. It's just a matter of having clear communication between the groups.
Thinking about the impact that your group has had at your school in terms of school culture, thinking about some of the events and ways that you've interacted and brought this issue to the surface in your school. What are you most proud of about the work that you've done with STAND?
We had two events last May. They were both organized pretty quickly because we had just come back from online learning. One of them was a fun run for the lower school students, and what they did was we took out three different grades and we were like, run as many laps as you can in a certain amount of time, and then depending on the amount of laps they ran, we donated a certain number to the India COVID Relief Fund. And we did something similar with a walkathon for the upper school students where they had posters around the city and they had to walk as much as they could. And depending on, I think, how many kilometers was walked, we donated a certain amount of money to the India COVID Relief Fund. And I think that's a project that stands out in our history of what we've done so far, because it was really interesting to see, like, for example, the younger students, especially how much they knew about the India COVID Relief Fund and how much they were interested in taking action, even though they were like fourth graders.
Some of them were running like crazy.
Yeah, they ran like crazy. And I think it was really nice, like a nice combination of you can take action whilst having fun, whilst promoting healthy habits like running outside in the nice weather.
I love it.
I'm personally most proud of the kind of different feeling the community has now that STAND has become a part of. Well, STAND is now like more solidly there. So like when something is more talked about, obviously everything becomes more standard and comfortable. So personally, I'm just proud that STAND has shifted this environment towards a more acknowledgeable group.
Also, I want to add that besides the specific events that we have facilitated, I am just really proud of the fact that when we think about it, we started off with how many people, like around 5 or 6 people maybe. And now we have like over 20 people in STAND. Or,
yeah. We have like a solid 30 members on our shared team drive. And that's, we're a pretty small school. So that's a pretty, it's a good number.
Yeah, that's really great and amazing. And it's just surprising because we never expected it, but we, perseverance, as Diana said, we faced the challenges, overcame that. And now we still have a lot to learn, a lot to grow. So we're really looking forward to collaborating with other schools as well.
Yeah, we're going to keep pushing. I think at some point last year, people were like, oh my gosh, Diana, stop talking about STEM. But you just got to keep pushing and pushing.
I love the work that all of you are doing. And I am excited to be able to share this story and hopefully help you to connect with some other schools and collaborate and see where this goes. I think it's some fantastic things are happening. And I think there are more to come by the sounds of things. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to join me on the podcast.
And thank you for having us.
Thank you. An amazing opportunity. And it's so thoughtful that like, and so amazing that people abroad now know about us and have, and it's great to like make connections and like spread our message.
If you've enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going on Twitter at @ScottJ_onWheels. Or you can find out more about Inspire Citizens on our website, inspirecitizens.org. Thanks for listening.